In the news this week, the NHS is to define sex as biological sex in proposed changes to its constitution. The Scottish Parliament backs censorship zones around abortion centres. And MPs from across the political spectrum speak out against legalising assisted suicide. Hello. The NHS is set to define sex as biological sex as part of the government's proposed changes to the NHS Constitution for England. The document, which is undergoing consultation, upholds sex-specific language and women's access to female-only wards and intimate care. Previously, guidance allowed men who say they are women to access single-sex wards on the basis of their gender identity. Health Secretary Victoria Atkins pledged to ensure that the fundamental principles that underpin the NHS are based on biological sex. Men and women experience illnesses and conditions differently, and this must be reflected when delivering their care. But we know that this does not always happen, with guidance left too vague or interpreted in a way that puts ideology before biology. The Scottish Parliament has backed proposals to ban any pro-life witness outside abortion centres in Scotland. MSPs voted in favour of the Abortion Services Safe Access Zones Bill by 123-1, which will now proceed to stage two. Although it does not mention prayer, a number of MSPs, including Dr. Sandesh Gulhani, raised concerns that it could criminalise thoughts and silent prayer.
Take prayer vigils. Are we asking the police to determine whether the law is breached by a bystander who may be engaged in silent prayer? Are we criminalising thought? We must be clear how we police this, given during evidence at committee, the police were clear that they would not ask somebody why they were there at a buffer zone and were clear that they were not the thought police. We also need to consider residential or business premises or places of worship that may be within the 200 metres of a clinic. No one is penalised for displaying a flag or poster of their favourite football team or political party in their window, even if some find this antagonistic. So where is the line?
John Mason, who was the sole MSP to vote against the bill, emphasised that both women and the unborn should be protected from harm.
At the very least, I would ask members to think about the baby in all of this. Yes, the mother's health care is supremely important, but the baby is important too, and someone needs to speak up for these babies, be that in Parliament or out on the streets. Thank you.
MPs from across the political spectrum have spoken out against legalising assisted suicide. In response to a petition calling for a vote on the issue, MPs highlighted international evidence on the erosion of safeguards, increased suicides, and people asking to be killed for fear of being a burden. Speaking in the Westminster Hall debate, DUP MP Carla Lockhart emphasised that society should give hope to the vulnerable instead of telling them that they are better off dead.
I speak today not as someone who hasn't experienced a loved one who suffered with terminal illness. I know the journey, but I also know the one thing these people don't need is the law telling them that their lives aren't worth living or that they're costing too much. We need to tell such people that they are valued, they're important, we care for them no matter the cost, and we must put our money where our mouth is and ensure that all those who need it can access high-quality, specialised palliative care.
Labour MP Sir Stephen Timms warned that societal acceptance of assisted suicide could leave elderly people feeling under pressure to kill themselves.
Legalising assisted dying would, it seems to me, impose a terrible dilemma on frail people, elderly people and others, when they're at the most vulnerable point in their lives, especially on conscientious frail people who don't want to die but don't want to be a burden. And I don't think there's any way to avoid imposing that dilemma.
And finally, Northern Ireland's Court of Appeal has ruled that exclusively Christian RE and collective worship in state-funded primary schools does not breach human rights. A humanist couple had argued that the lack of other worldviews presented to their child was unlawful, and in June 2022, the High Court ruled in their favour. The Department of Education contested the judgment, and while the Court of Appeal agreed that the curriculum lacks pluralism, the senior judges found there had been no violation of rights. They said parents have an unqualified statutory right to withdraw their children from both RE lessons and collective worship, but noted that the child's father and mother had not exercised that option. The Christian Institute's Callum Webster welcomed the ruling.
Well, we're thankful that common sense has prevailed. We're thankful that the court has ruled that schools can still have Christian-focused RE lessons and can still hold Christian assemblies in primary schools in Northern Ireland. This is good news because many of the schools that operate here were started by churches or by Christian benefactors, some over 100 years ago, and they were transferred to state control with the understanding that a Christian ethos would be maintained and respected. And obviously in this court case, we've had an attempt by parents who disagree with Christianity to try and prevent Christian RE lessons and prevent Christian collective worship taking place at assemblies. But the courts have not ruled in favour of that.
Well, that's all for this week. For regular updates and information on all of our stories, plus much more, visit our website at christian.org.uk. Until next time, goodbye.